us today on the summit is Cece Doucette, and I'm just going to say it, Cece is a communications ninja. She has a master's in technical and professional writing and a bachelor's in communication studies. She's a technical and professional writer by trade, and she helped the first public school district in the United States adopt best practices for mobile devices. Cece's also worked with her public library to become the first in the nation to host a film series on electromagnetic radiation and health, and to put a loan on microwave radiation detection meters for residents to borrow. She further collaborated with legislators in Massachusetts to introduce a number of bills addressing wireless radiation and public health, and worked with her Department of Public Health to draft EMF fact sheets. So, Cece, welcome to the 5G and Beyond Summit today.
Thanks so much, Josh. It's a real pleasure to be joining you today.
So you are a leader in communications and electromagnetic radiation. You have a website that helps people to learn about it, and you are out there creating change in the world. You also have a very interesting story about how you came to be in this role. Why don't you tell our viewers about that?
Yeah, so when my kids were in school, we kept hearing about this 21st century classroom and how we were going to need all this new equipment for our kids to succeed in life. So a bunch of us jumped in, and I used to help run our local education foundation, and we ran 7 campaigns to get things like wireless infrastructure and iPads and Chromebooks and smart boards and minis and all this equipment that we thought we really had to have for our children. And then I went to work directly for our schools as our grant coordinator. And in that role, I found out about Donors Choose, which is crowdfunding for teachers. And I thought, well, wow, our budgets have been cut to the bone. Let's see what we can do to help get some additional money in here for this. So I promoted that program, and we got over 100 projects set up and funded, which was amazing. Our community was so supportive. But we got more things like the iPads and the Chromebooks and, you know, all this wireless technology. And then one night at book group, a girlfriend of mine who's an electrical engineer was reading a book called Zapped, and she mentioned that it looks like there could be biological harm from wireless. And you know, it was book group, so I just made a mental note of it. And then not long after, I read something along the same lines about that, and I went, oh, if there's anything to this, I want to know, because I've literally brought this stuff into our schools. So if you do a cursory search and say, is Wi-Fi safe or is wireless technology harmful, you will find studies that were done under conditions that showed no harm. And I didn't know it at the time. This was back in like 2012, 2013. But being a tech writer, part of my skill set is research. So I started doing the deep dive. And I was just astounded at how many studies are out there, peer-reviewed, published, scientific literature showing great harm from wireless technology. So I was finding the science, but then I was finding that other countries were already protecting their citizens, and especially the children, because the science shows that children are not just little people. Biologically, they are still growing. Their DNA is still growing, their immune system is still developing, their central nervous system is still under development. And here we are pulsing them with what turns out to be two-way microwave radiation. And some people will say, yeah, but it's at such a low level, it really doesn't matter because it doesn't cause any heating. Well, that's the dilemma we're in. As back in the 90s, I discovered, we set our public radiation exposure limits only on how much heat it would take from one antenna, from one cell phone, to cause the temperature to rise inside this mannequin's head. And if I can show you Sam, I've got him here somewhere. Sam is a specific anthropomorphic mannequin who's in the 90th percentile of military fitness. He's adult male, 220 pounds, 6'2". And most of us aren't built like that, right? So all they did is they took one cell phone and put it near Sam's head, not even right up against his head. They put a probe inside his head in this water-based gel and said, how much heat from this one device in a half an hour does it take to raise that temperature? So that's what they did. They took that heat limit and set our public radiation exposure levels. Did they even safety test that? No. So we have no safety testing on anything wireless. It all came to market through the FCC's approval of these thermal-based limits. And now we have literally thousands of studies all over the world. And I had the privilege of being asked to co-chair a technology panel down at the National Institutes of Health for the Health in Buildings Roundtable Conference. And Dr. Martin Paul joined our panel, and he's gone in and gathered up all of the science that's been done on this. And he's organized it by scientific reviews and what each group of studies is telling us. And he put out a document called 5G, Great Risk for the European Union, the U.S., and International Health, compelling evidence for 8 distinct types of great harm caused by electromagnetic field or EMF exposures, and really importantly, the mechanisms that cause them. Because for years, the industry's been able to spin it like, well, there's no mechanism of harm identified. And Dr. Paul pulled all the research together recently to tell us what that is. So at the point that I began my journey, I was finding studies that were saying this is really harmful, and especially to our children. So the set of studies that actually got me on my feet were the reproductive studies, because they have taken male human sperm, exposed it to a laptop with the antennas on, and it changed the DNA. It slowed the motility of the sperm, and it caused far fewer sperm to become viable in just 4 hours of exposure. And I went, you gotta be kidding me. And one of my daughters was 15, and we had just given her a laptop for Christmas. And of course, where's she using it? But right on top of her reproductive organs. So that's what gave me the courage to step up and say, I think we've got a problem here. So I start sending my school committee, our school nurse, our science teachers, our superintendent, all of our leaders in our school district, I start sending them this stuff. And you know how the French National Library removed wireless in 2008 because of the harm they knew about already a decade ago. There were pockets in Italy and Belgium and Israel that were taking wireless out of the schools. So I'm thinking this looks to be really serious. So Ashland Public Schools first didn't even acknowledge that I was sending this information to them. Like literally, I got back crickets. And then ultimately our school committee chairwoman started doing the deep dive too. And she actually picked up the phone and called an EMF expert who at the time was on the East Coast here. And she wanted to talk to him. She's a lawyer, she has 4 children. She runs hospice programs in our hospital and at the women's prison. She's just the right kind of caring soul, right? So she did her due diligence and she called this EMF expert, Ray Peeler. And he said, you know, you are the first school person who has ever picked up the phone and called in all the years he's been doing it. She was the first caring school person to actually reach out for a connection with somebody who's an expert on this.
Wow. And that was 4 years ago, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. 5 now. So she did the deep dive. I was doing the deep dive. We're sharing information, but she was only one voice on our school committee. And I met one of them at the gas pump one night, and he's like, wow, Cece, really? You turn your router off at night? And I said, yeah. And that was the point at which I was still circling my tail figuring this out. And the first thing I wanted to do was protect our sleep. And he said, you know, I'm a technologist. I've been in technology for 30 years and I had no idea that this was even going on. And I said, I know, who would even know, right? And so another one of our school committee members, her husband is an engineer, and our engineers and our physicists and our technologists have only been taught the thermal effect. So they go into this thinking that you have to have a ton of heat before you're gonna have harm. They have no idea of these thousands of studies showing biological effects at the non-thermal level. So then there was another woman who had been our former chairwoman, and she understood due diligence. And so she went out and looked at the top lobbyists at the federal level. And she came back saying, wow, look at that. That top 100 of all-time lobbyists is just riddled with telecom, with cable, with energy, with technology. So she was piecing together that we really could have a conflict of interest here. And then the fifth school committee member was new that year, so she just kind of recused herself because she didn't have her feet under her enough yet. So ultimately, I think what happened is, you know, our school committee members are educators, their parents, they come from other backgrounds. So they didn't feel empowered in the scientific and medical realm to really make a determination. But when they read the fine print that comes with all of our devices, I think that's when they had a legal uh-oh moment. And for anybody listening today who has perhaps an iPhone, if you pick up your phone, you know, log in, go into settings, and then remember the acronym GAL. So once you're in settings, scroll down just a little ways and hit general, that's the G. Right at the top, hit about, that's the A, and then scroll all the way down, and second from the bottom, you'll see legal, that's the L. So from settings, it's general, about, legal. And right there at the bottom of legal is RF exposure, which is what we're talking about here. It's radio frequency radiation that the industry in there politely calls energy. Well, it's two-way microwave radiation. That's the bottom line. And even in the manufacturer's fine print, it says, keep this device X amount of distance from your body, or you may exceed the FCC limits for public radiation exposure. And most people look at that and go, oh my gosh, I've been sticking this thing in my bra. I've been putting it in my pocket, in my suit pocket, in my front pocket, in my waistband. I've been putting it in my back pocket. And it's no wonder that the American Cancer Society is reporting a doubling and quadrupling of colon and rectal cancers right now, including among our young adults. So I think when, and that fine print also says to keep, or to not only keep it off your body, but to use a hands-free option. And Josh, as you and I are doing, we're using a headset, right? But we're hooked up to our hardwired computers. Mm-hmm. But even if you have to use your cell phone in active mode, you should know that that one cell phone has five or six separate antennas that are constantly pulsing microwave radiation at us to make or maintain a handshake with that nearest cell tower or router. And why would we knowingly sit there with six microwave antennas pulsing at us, right? So you can choose, once you know, to only use the one antenna that you need at the moment. Put everything else in airplane mode or turn it off. There's a cell antenna, a data antenna, a Bluetooth antenna, a Wi-Fi antenna, a locator antenna, and by now a hotspot, because the industry is using us as their network. Right? And we don't need that. So I think when our school committee read that legal fine print, they realized they had a legal exposure, because they've given those kids and the teachers all this technology with no safety education. So, you know, I went into it hoping that we would see what the harm is and then fix it.
Yeah.
Right? But we had people take the podium when this came up for community discussion at our school committee meetings. And we had a PhD physicist, we had a veterinarian, we had technologists, we had engineers who got up as much to say our kids deserve to have the best that we can afford to give them. So we shouldn't be thinking about going backwards on technology. And I think what happened is in their college educations, they were only told that you had to adhere to the FCC limits, right? And now we know those were never safety tested, and they are not protective of biological health.
Right.
So, but they apparently hadn't done the deep dive. So it became a very difficult conversation in our town, and I respect that. Who wants to know that this wonderful technology that we've all become reliant on is harming us, and that we're really hurting our kids on this? So to Ashland's credit, what they did is they put together a committee, and it included a school committee member. She was the former chairwoman who had a lot of seasoned experience. It was our IT director and our director of curriculum. And because they didn't want this to be a divisional issue in our town, what they did is they came up with best practices for mobile devices, right? And on this little sign, it says, turn off the devices when not in use. So don't just have things sitting around us pulsing radiation all the time for a handshake with the nearest cell tower or router. Turn it off when you're not using it is a first step. Only turn the Wi-Fi on when needed. So now we've got all these routers and wireless access points mounted all over our schools and our homes that are constantly pulsing this toxic microwave radiation. So turn off the Wi-Fi. And as even the manufacturers themselves tell us, always place a mobile device on a solid surface because you don't want to put it on your body. And if you have one that's in active mode, you don't want to put it on a metal surface because metal amplifies radiation. So you think about kids with pierced ears or braces or other piercings or metal in the underwire of their bras or on their glasses. All of this is drawing the radiation to us. So we don't want to have it on a metal surface. And so we trained our schools on this on the first day back to school the next fall when all of our teachers and staff come back on that first day before the kids show up. They get trained on anti-bullying and physical restraint and mandated reporter, and so they threw up a few slides on best practices for mobile devices. And as I was sitting there, I noticed that what the committee had showed me early on said best practices for Wi-Fi safety. And when they rolled this out, they never talked about safety. They never told our school community that this is two-way microwave radiation that the scientific literature is showing to be extraordinarily harmful. And so I was puzzled. And I set up a meeting with our superintendent the next day. And first I said, thank you, because I've seen meeting video from all around the country where parents figure this out or figure out that this is why their child is sick. Mm-hmm. They bring it to their school committees who are by now so deep in bed with industry that they don't want to hear it, right? So I went in with gratitude and I said, you know, thank you so much, Mr. Adams. I'm very grateful that we at least have this sign hanging, but I'm deeply concerned that we didn't tell the teachers exactly what this toxin is. And he said, honestly, all I can do is what our school committee commissioned me to do, and that's to train the staff and to hang this sign up. And I said, well, can we tell him it's microwave radiation? And he had just stepped in as our superintendent. He was the sixth one we had had in 5 years. So we were going through a lot of changes in our district. And he had never been a superintendent before. So he had come out of our high school as our principal, but he still needed to get to know all of our administrators in the other schools better, all the teachers. And so I thought, okay, well, if we can't take it any further inside the schools, can we please tell the parents? Because even if the parents knew to turn everything off at home, and especially during the sleeping hours where our bodies are supposed to be taking care of cell repair and regeneration, this wireless disables that capability in our bodies. So, and he just held up his hands. He said, I'm sorry, this is as far as I can take it right now. So I'm thinking, okay, how can we give people the right to know? So next, I went to our Board of Health, and I learned that they had no idea that wireless was harmless. Mm-hmm. Our health agent for harmful. Our town.
Yeah. Harmful. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. So I met with our health agent, and he was around in the 90s when the cell towers started coming in. And he said back then, at the municipal level, we were told that anybody claims harm for the environment, then we're just out of luck. There's no recourse. And I was, well, how can that be? And he said, at the municipal level, we have to follow the state. The state has to follow the federal. And the federal rolls up to the 1996 Telecom Act that has a section 704 that says, if if anybody claims environmental harm, and they've since sort of interpreted that to include health, that there's no recourse. And I just walked away scratching my head going, what are we doing? Yeah. Right? So I knew our health board and our health agent were in the dark on this. And so I asked for a meeting with my senator, Senator Karen Spilka. She's my rep here in Ashland. And during her district office hours, we met at the local coffee shop, and I was teaching her the science. And then I had a device that I could measure. And so I measured Senator Spilka's cell phone, and I measured her district director's laptop. And both devices were in active mode, and they went right off the charts. And they're looking at me like, really? And I'm like, yes, and nobody knows. I said, is there something from where you sit where we could at least give the public the right to know, and then they can make their choices, just like they do with drugs or alcohol or tobacco or pornography or gambling, all these addictive things. Some people will choose, and some people will choose not to if they know how toxic it is, right? But beyond that, we are morally obliged to protect our children. So Senator Spilka put me with a lawyer in her office, and we crafted a very simple bill that would simply give the public the right to know. Right? Put a commission together, get the Department of Health, get the Department of Education, get our legislative leaders, get the industry, get everybody to the table, and let's bring in the experts, the non-industry funded scientific experts. So she put the bill in under my name in 2015, and here in Massachusetts, we have a two-year cycle. And I was told by other people, don't get your hopes up. One, because when a bill goes in, under a constituent's name, that can be a red flag to the legislators. They literally have thousands of bills to get through in 2 years. And if it's not directly sponsored by a senator or a state rep, maybe they're not going to spend time examining it. And I thought, okay, but you know, it's better than what we started with, right? And they said, and a bill almost never ever goes anywhere the first session that it's introduced, and that's just how our system here in Massachusetts works. And Senator Spilka actually cautioned me too. She said, I've had some child protective bills that took many, many sessions before we finally enacted it. So I thought, okay, but it's better than what we started with, right? So my bill was introduced, and I didn't know anything about how our legislative process works, so it was a total learning curve for me too. They introduced the bill, the Senate brought it in, the House gave it the nod, and then it got assigned to the Joint Committee on Public Health. And I said, okay, so now what happens? And they said, sometime over the next 18 months, your bill will come up for public hearing, and you will have 3 minutes to testify. And I went, okay. 3 minutes isn't a lot, but it's better than what we started with, right? So I'm doing everything I can think of to educate my town, to educate my public servants, to try and get this to the public, because really it's a no-brainer. The message is not no technology, it's safe technology. So all you need is a good hour's worth of education to know there's peer-reviewed, published, independent science shouting great harm. But how can we even get that 1 hour with people, right? So I thought, okay, I've done like everything I can think of, from my classrooms to my home to my town to my state. So I'm like, okay, I can catch my breath. Sometime my bill's going to come up for hearing, right? So around July of that summer, I get a call from somebody referencing the bill, and I'm thinking it's Senator Spilka's office, and maybe the bill's coming up for hearing. But it was actually a brilliant woman here in Massachusetts by the name of Patricia Burke, and she figured out how toxic the utility smart meters are. Mm-hmm. And she found out that I had this bill, and she called me up to say we actually had a bill in Massachusetts to give people the right to opt out of these utility smart meters because they beacon microwave radiation all around the clock. And you never know who's on the other side of the wall. It could be a child or a pregnant woman or an elderly, and we know this does a number on the cognitive abilities, so the elderly are particularly vulnerable. And anybody else who has any kind of a health condition is especially vulnerable too. And that's not to say that it's healthy for any of us, right? So she was calling to tell me there was a smart meter bill in Massachusetts, and I'm like, wow, I was like, double wow. I actually have somebody I can talk to about this, because I was just going on my own intellect and instinct for the first 2 years and digging all this stuff up. So I finally had somebody to talk to, and she said there was a panel of experts coming to the Massachusetts legislature to address wireless radiation and to ask our legislators for the right to know. And I hung up the phone that day feeling like a kid in the candy store, because, oh my gosh, not only have I found somebody I can talk to, now I get to go to the State House and actually listen to some of the world's leading experts on this. So when I show up at the State House, there's a standing room only room full of other parents and citizens in Massachusetts who've been on this path for ages, and I thought I was the only one, right? And now I get to connect with people all over the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. But we were there to listen to Dr. Deborah Davis, who is a Nobel Peace Prize co-laureate on climate change, and when she figured out what this technology is doing, she's been all over it, and she has amazing resources at the Environmental Health Trust, and she has produced a whole bunch of terrific learning tools for doctors, for the public. She's got a great one on 5G and the Internet of Things. So she came to tell us about the science. She got Dr. Sharma from India to fly in on his vacation time to teach us what India's been doing. And Dr. Sharma and his team has done some of those fertility studies and other scientific endeavors. And their radiation exposures were up where ours still are here in the United States. And he has brought them down through his recommendations 90%.
Yeah.
They're still in the throes of figuring out how to do that, but at least on paper, they've got it down that we should not be exposing our public like this.
Excellent model, you know, that it can be done. And it is happening in other countries, and it is even happening in the United States and Canada. It's just, it needs more. We don't hear about it. It needs more attention. It needs more people and more focus. So you're doing an amazing job in pioneering all this. So what's going on with, okay, so you're involved in legislation now at this point several years ago with the smart meter bill. And help us to bring us up to speed, and what's going on from that point on now, and what's going on with the Department of Public Health and the Departments of Education there in Massachusetts, and if you have insight on a federal level.
Okay, so to speed us up from 2015 to 2019, my bill was actually reported out favorably that first session by the Joint Committee on Public Health. And the reason why is that I've been so blessed to connect with so many of the experts out there, the scientists, the doctors, the public health experts, and so many people who have become either sick or lost a loved one from radio frequency radiation exposure. So as each bill would come up for public hearing, I would create a template and put it out there and say, folks, if you can take a few minutes, please send in testimony. So we were able to educate the Department of Public Health. We were able to educate others that I put on that template, like every committee that had one of these bills assigned to it and all of its members, our Attorney General's office, because folks may not know, but it was our attorneys general banding together that finally got tobacco outed as the toxin that it is. They sued Big Tobacco. So I wanted them to be learning along with this. And so people were so generous with their time to send in testimony. And so my bill passed the first big hurdle, but then it got bundled with a bunch of other bills that really weren't even related, and it got sent to study with that lot of bills. So the next session in 2017-18, Senator Spilka brought my bill back, but this time she directly sponsored it. And that was really huge, because I understand that she doesn't sponsor very many bills directly, because she had a very prominent position as the chairwoman of the Senate Ways and Means Committee. So she has to be very judicious about what she supports. So I was just so honored that she did that. Once again, the bill came out favorably, and it didn't get sent to study. It got sent over to Senate Rules Committee, where it timed out on December 31st of this past year. So I checked in to see if she'd be bringing it back this year, and kind of at the 11th hour, I found out that because she's now been voted in as our Senate president, in that role, she cannot introduce legislation. So I went, oh no, what about my bill, right? So thank goodness for Representative Jack Patrick Lewis. He's my state rep, and he brought the bill back, and he actually polished it up to meet this point in time where we're now facing 5G or fifth generation technology and the harm that that's going to bring to our communities. So Jack Lewis brought my bill back, and it is now been assigned to a committee, and hopefully over the next few months it will come up for public hearing. And once again, I will reach out to folks and ask that people please, please send in testimony so that we cannot ignore this issue. Because one of the hardest lessons I've learned is I walked into this expecting that our public servants would react to something like this as we as parents are reacting to it, saying, problem, gap analysis, solution, right? If there's something hurting our kids, let's learn about it. Let's figure out what needs to be done and how to get there. But unfortunately, there are so many issues that our public servants need to address today that unless the public is speaking up about an issue in volume, like many people, they've got to put their limited resources and time into what's getting the loudest outcry.
Yeah.
So that was heartbreaking because we should all be protecting our kids. So that's the way the system works. But a really cool thing has happened in Massachusetts. We started out with my bill with Senator Spilka and Senator Moore's bill on the smart meter opt-out. And then all these other bills have popped up from all over the state. Massachusetts now leads the nation with 19 bills addressing everything from schools to the utility companies to public health. And we've got a whole lot of good information out there that other states, other citizens can look at and say, hey, why don't we do this? And then a really amazing thing happened in New Hampshire. So there's an excellent film called Generation Zapped. Mm-hmm. We have held a screening at our state house. We held a screening down at the National Institutes of Health when we did that symposium down there this summer. And a lot of people have asked me to come co-host in their public library. And one of the schools here, a charter school called River Valley Charter School up in Massachusetts, their principal thought there was enough merit to this and agreed to have this screening there. So that's a huge lesson for all of our schools. What a beautiful example. Somebody from New Hampshire drove down, and she has electrical sensitivities, and she wanted to see the film. And then she had me go to Stratham, New Hampshire, and do a screening with her there. And then after that, and she introduced her state rep to it, but he couldn't make it that night. He had another commitment. But then he went campaigning door to door for the vote last fall, and she invited him in. She really brought him up to speed on what this is. And he had a huge wow moment when he started looking at the science. And he didn't take it at face value. He did the deep dive, and he's an engineer by trade. So this goes counter to everything he knew about engineering, right? And these devices that are emitting wireless. But when he looked at the science, he was like, wow. So he wrote a bill, and he asked me to take a quick look at it, and I did, and he polished it up. And then they both hopped in his car and drove down from New Hampshire. We sat at my kitchen table. We talked about electromagnetic radiation. He got his bill introduced. It was assigned to their House Committee on Technology, Science, and Energy, I think it is. And nobody on that House Committee had any idea either, but they actually set up an hour and a half so that we could really educate. And Frank Clegg, who's the retired president of Microsoft Canada, is trying to get the word out now. He's retired. He investigated. He knew enough never to have wireless at home, but he didn't really understand it because he was with Microsoft when they were just on the software end of things. So he investigated, did the deep dive, and came back and said, our FCC guidelines and Canada's Safety Code 6 are not safe. Mm-hmm. So he's devoted his retirement years. You know, he should be able to just be hanging out with his grandchildren and being a good grandpa and stuff, which he is doing. But he also set up Canadians for Safe Technology, and he's up in Parliament trying to do what we're trying to do here and get the word out for safe technology. So he was so gracious. He flew in to this hearing in New Hampshire in February. And then Dr. Paul Elroux from McGill University, who I believe is also part of your forum here, he came down. He is not only a scientist, but he's a professor in the medical school at McGill, which as I understand is like the Harvard of Canada. And he came down and passionately told our legislators exactly what he's seeing in his petri dishes when he's putting cancer agents against EMF. Mm-hmm. And what it's doing to our cells biologically. So it was so wonderful that these legislators in New Hampshire really listened. Then they took it to a floor vote and it passed. So now it has gone to the Senate in New Hampshire, and instead of putting it back in with technology, they put it in with health and human services, which is where it belongs, because we have to address the biological effects. And Representative Abrami's bill, which is House Bill 522, is to address the impact of 5G and wireless technology on both health and the environment.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful that by the time your symposium goes live, maybe that bill will already be passed, because there's only 6 committee members on Health and Human Services. And as luck would have it, we didn't know where that bill was going to go when it got reported out of the House. But one of the co-sponsors of the bill is Senator Tom Sherman, who is the chair of Health and Human Services, and he's a physician. He's a gastroenterologist. And I had the privilege of meeting him, and he's given up a lot of his practice time to help with legislation. And in New Hampshire, after these hearings took place, this woman, Deb Hodgson, who got the ball rolling in New Hampshire, set up a screening of Generation Zap just a couple weeks ago, and it was held at their middle school. So again, bravo to another school who had the courage to bring this in and start this important conversation in the community. So once again, we have courageous leadership in New Hampshire. The state rep and the senator both came out in the community to talk about this at this screening of Generation Zapped. And so I was talking about, you know, what we learned in this report out of Harvard called Captured Agency, how our Federal Communications Commission is dominated by the industries it presumably regulates. And that was a big missing piece for me, because I thought surely somebody's got our back. And that's where I lost my innocence when I found out that the FCC is run by industry people, literally.
Yeah.
Head of the Cellular Telephone Industry Association that rebranded itself to call itself CTIA, the Wireless Association, grew up to be the head of the FCC, Tom Wheeler. He just stepped down when Trump came in, and now Ajit Pai is at the head of the FCC. And he's a former, I think, a senior lawyer from Verizon. So we don't have anybody protecting us. They defunded all of our EPA and FDA programs that were supposed to be investigating the non-thermal effects. So when we were at the Generation Zap screening in New Hampshire and I started talking about the corruption we have at the federal level, I could just see the senator really wanted the microphone, so I handed it over to him, and he turned around to the audience and he said, "We have seen this time and again with the chemical corporations, with these other toxic things that they've just dumped into our environment." He said, "It is no surprise to me that this is what's happening with big Wi-Fi, just as it happened with big tobacco and Monsanto with the glyphosate and the GMOs and all of that." So refreshing that we have champions in New Hampshire who are taking this by the horns. So maybe by the time this goes out to the public, we will actually have a commission formed in New Hampshire that's going to try and get ahead of 5G. But it's already rolled out all over Massachusetts. I had a woman who met with me and with Senator Spilka here in Massachusetts and a number of other citizens. We got together. And this woman has been coming into Boston for years doing business. And she said this past fall, she was walking down School Street, which is one of the main streets in downtown Boston, and all of a sudden, her skull platelet started shifting and something was squeezing in on her brain, and her heart started going like this, really erratic. And she just started feeling like, you know, very, very anxious. And she looked up and there was one of those small cell antennas right above her head. And then she was down by Northeastern University and she started feeling the same thing. And she looked up and there was another small cell antenna. And I've since that meeting, I met with a professor in the medical school. She's a chemistry professor. And she came to a screening of Generation Zapped and she said, "Could this be causing migraines?" And I said, "That's a classic first symptom of microwave radiation toxicity." And she said, "And my doctor just put me on anti-nausea medication." And I said, "That's another classic symptom. Headaches, nosebleeds, nausea, dizziness, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, because we know it hits that central nervous system, especially heart, cognitive impairment, memory issues, skin problems, because we have little antennas all over our skin, and when this radiation, and especially hearing these 5-millimeter waves that are going to be used for 5G, they have a huge impact on skin, which is our largest organ. And the eyes, we have no shielding for our eyes, right? And by the way, 5G is not going to operate independently. It's not like we're going to get rid of all those cell tower antennas, the big macro ones. They're going to go away and we're just going to have 5G. No, because these little dinky millimeter waves for 5G will not penetrate buildings or leaves or rain like the bigger waves are right now for 3G and 4G. So they're just going to, their solution to give us a faster download, a smart city or an autonomous car, is they're going to put cell towers in our neighborhoods, every 2 to 12 houses, right at street level. So we will never, ever get a break from microwave radiation.
So that's why it's so important for everyone just to get involved. You're a pioneer in this. You know, there's been people that have come before and that have been speaking out in the science, but you have really helped it bring this movement and this process in terms of communicating, especially with our elected officials, to the next level. And when, as pioneers sort of open it up, it becomes easier for people to follow. So there's resources. There's, you know, Generation Zapped, you mentioned. There's you know, I have a Cornet meter there, which is super helpful for showing people visually and auditorily. They can actually see and hear the microwave.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Yeah, that makes a huge impact. And I appreciate you bringing up your meter, because when I fell down the rabbit hole, I'm thinking again, problem solution, right? Yeah. And I figured out that there are meters out there that do radio frequency detection. So I thought, okay, I'm a grant coordinator. I know we have a pot of money in our town through a fund that our selectmen are in charge of, and you can put in an application for these small grants. And I thought, let's get a meter for our library. Everybody in town could check it out and start understanding what this is. Let's get one for our schools, right? Measure and remediate. So I put in an application for 2 meters and it was rejected. They're like, oh, we really don't know what this issue is. So come back next time. Sure. So I come back the next time and they're like, oh, gee, this is probably more of a Board of Health issue. But I knew our Board of Health was not up to speed on this. So I went, okay. But then when my bill came up for public hearing and I got to testify, I got my 3 minutes. So I'm holding up the science. I'm holding up Ashland's best practices. And I'm holding up my meter. And I could tell that not one single person on that Joint Committee on Public Health knew that this issue existed. I could just tell by the expressions in their eyes. So I thought, okay, this isn't going to cut it. So I made it a priority to take time to set up a meeting with every single representative and senator on each of the committees that were now assigned all these bills. And from that, I learned you really have to educate people. You can't just send them an email because their inboxes are too full. And they've never heard it's harmful, so why would they even listen, right? So I thought, okay, I better double back to my town. And so I actually bought myself an acoustimeter, and I went back to our selectmen and asked for an individual meeting with every one of them. I met one in his home, and he invited a second selectman over, and we walked around his house and showed him what their exposures were. I met another in a coffee shop. One came to my home. I met another one for lunch. And one by one, I showed them what this really is, and then I resubmitted my application. And they were still nervous because this was a contentious issue in our community, but they said, well, for starters, we will grant you funding for 1 acoustimeter conditionally, and that was that our library would agree to take it into circulation. And the reason why I even got the idea to put one in our library is back when those CFL light bulbs were being promoted for our homes, they're the swirly ones, which, by the way, throw off a lot of harmful, dirty electricity. But part of their marketing campaign was to put a kilowatt meter on loan in all of our libraries. So they donated this device that you can take home, plug into the wall, and measure how much energy you're using from our cleaner incandescent bulbs versus these toxic dirty electricity CFLs that do save energy, but at the cost of our health.
Yeah.
That's not a very good
thing. And they're loaded with mercury. Like, what happens to all of these bulbs after their life? They are filled with mercury, and that's going to go in the environment. It's
right.
Crazy.
And then you drop one. I've dropped probably 24 light bulbs in my lifetime, and now I've got mercury toxicity in my home. So yeah, good reasons for that. But we already had that kilowatt meter barcoded on loan in our library. So in order to get an acoustimeter on loan, I had to present to our library trustees. And, you know, and again, it's a hard sell for some people because they may have had an entire career thinking that this was safe. So one gentleman sat there with his arms folded and thought the whole thing was hogwash. Another woman wanted to get that acoustimeter and take it home as soon as she could and see what she was living in. And then a third one said, you know, regardless of how we feel personally, our role is to be a conduit of information in the community. And if this is a resource that would help our community, then we should take a vote and see if we'll bring it into circulation. So they did. They voted 4-1 to put this acoustimeter into circulation. So I bought it and I donated it and we did up a little set of instructions. So anybody out there who wants to do something like that for your community, my grant was for about $400 for this acoustimeter. And I'll do a quick demonstration. So if there was no radio frequency in the area, it would just crackle to confirm it's working. If the LED glows green, that's the level of radiation at which the scientific community is still identifying what the biological effects are. When it goes into yellow, that's where people may not be sleeping well anymore because this does a number on our sleep cycle. It may be where they're getting headaches that their doctors can't figure out, nosebleeds, nausea, dizziness, they can't focus, they have chronic fatigue, their memory's going. All of that is the electrical sensitivity. And then when we go into red, we literally have thousands of studies proving all of this, along with cancers, DNA damage, sperm, infertility, Alzheimer's at earlier and earlier ages, ADD, ADHD, autism is tying into this now. So a meter like this can show you what your exposures are. And so when I turned this on in my meeting with Senator Spilka, it went off the charts. But right now in my home, we see it flickering down here at the green. And that's because I'm working with you today with a hardwired PC. I went into my PC and I put whatever antenna was in there in airplane mode. I replaced my mouse with my, you know, corded mouse. I got rid of the wireless one because it turns out that was emitting too. My wireless keyboard's gone. I went and got my old hardwired one. My printer has always been hardwired. My CPU's always been hardwired. But I was sitting here one day and all of a sudden I started feeling like the earth was sucking me down again, and I had slept great. I had eaten a clean organic diet, but something, I could tell something was going on. And I turned on my acoustimeter and it turned out my printer was hot. It was beaconing off the charts. And I'm like, but how can that be? The little light on the front of my printer wasn't glowing on the Wi-Fi logo. So I just looked online and pulled up the manual, and it turns out there were two antennas in that printer. Even though it's hardwired, my daughter had been home from college and needed to print something from her laptop, so she just turned the wireless on and forgot to totally disable it. But we didn't know there were two antennas in there. So I just went into settings and went off, off, apply, and then it was done. So we became the first in the United States to have an acoustimeter on loan, and it's only available to the people in Ashland, Massachusetts, because it came out of a pot of money that was from our town. But other communities could do that. And as you mentioned in the introduction, Josh, we became the first in the United States also to do a 6-part documentary film and discussion series. And this woman, Patricia Burke, who had been learning about this stuff way ahead of me, she and I consulted with our library, friends of the library, because they hosted this along with our farmers market. And we chose your film, Take Back Your Power. We chose to show some of the talks that were given by other experts in the field. We did Microwave Science and Lies. Today, we would do Generation Zapped, and there are a few other really good films. So we did this six-part documentary film and discussion series over a span of several months, and that's something that every community can do as well. So there are some good examples from the grassroots up, and that's really what it's going to take to affect large-scale change. You have to get people educated, and my advice is don't go it alone. That was my first mistake, is having been a volunteer in my community for 20 years, having worked directly for our schools, and having the kids' best interest at heart, I thought I would raise my hand and say, we have an issue here, let's fix it. And if we had a gas leak, they would have evacuated that school immediately. Well, the World Health Organization in 2011 classified this radio frequency, all radio frequency radiation. So we're talking cell phones, cell towers, microwave ovens, baby monitors, Bluetooth, Chromebooks, iPads, everything, wearables, all of it emit this toxic radiation. We should be getting that away from our kids, especially. But no. It came so far out of left field that I got back crickets. So don't go it alone. If I had a do-over, I would get Generation Zapped. I would license that, and I would invite 25 of my closest friends and family into my living room or into my library, and then you get to sit there. So you don't have to sell it. You get to listen to the world's leading scientists and doctors and public health experts and people who have suffered from this technology and finally connected the dots that this is what's keeping them up at night. This is what's hurting their children. This is why their kids are jumping out of their skin. You know, the anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation in our kids, we have never in the course of humanity seen it at this level. And it's no coincidence. Scientifically, we know this hits that central nervous system really hard. So anybody can do this, but you have to come out of your comfort zone. And that was a big thing for me. But I'm sorry, when I read those fertility studies and I'd given my daughter a laptop, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. And I didn't like speaking up about this. I'm a good doobie. I wanna be everybody's friend. And I hope to be. But you have to go in and start this conversation. And if you come in with fire and brimstone, everybody's looking for an exit. They don't want to talk about this. So if you come in on the attack, like it's your fault, you brought all this stuff in, who's going to want to listen to that? It's legal. They don't have to listen to it. So let's go in collaboratively and say, hey, the U.S. National Toxicology Program, our own government, had been doing a 20-year study, $30 million, expecting to prove that cell phones were safe, because that was the technology the day when they got started. Instead, they held an unprecedented three-day review at the U.S. National Toxicology Program, and they are the world's leader in toxicology research. So what agents make people ill? What harms our planet? And they found statistically significant DNA damage, clear evidence of heart tumors with additional findings of brain tumors, thyroid tumors, adrenal, and on. Clear evidence is the highest public warning that they can issue. And on November 1st of 2018, they put out their final report. The FDA is supposed to take that and take it out to the public, and they have failed to do that.
They're not doing their job.
They're not doing their job, and it's highly unusual that they wouldn't take this immediately and take it to the next steps to get it out to the public. So again, just like captured agency with the FCC, we likely have conflicts of interest with industry in the FDA, in the EPA, but the public deserves a right to know. And you know, sometimes the industry will spin it saying, well, you have to have more than one study showing the same thing. Well, right on the heels of this National Toxicology Program study, the Ramazzini Institute in Italy put out another large-scale, publicly funded study that found the same thing. So this Ramazzini Institute study is out there. So we don't need more science. What we need is to educate the public and for the public to say, this is bad enough that I am not going to sit still and wait for public policy to catch up, because public policy can take decades, and we're already decades into this. So we need courageous people from the grassroots up to sit down calmly, to have a conversation, and use these amazing tools that we have. Host a screening of Generation Zapped. You can go right out on their website. You can get it on DVD. There are legal responsibilities around that. You can share it with your own loved ones, but if you're going to do it for a crowd of 15 or more, this amazing film producer, Sabine El-Jamayel, gave 4 years of her life to this project, and she had to do some crowdfunding just to pay the experts who did the film and the music and everything else, the promotion and everything. So she needs to earn back her time. So please don't go against the licensing, and let's honor her by legally licensing it through our libraries, through our schools, and through public screening. So hold a screening of Generation Zapped. And on this journey, I've had the privilege of meeting Brett and Lynn West out of the UK. And Brett, in his earlier years, was an EMT and then in South Africa. And then he grew up to be a technologist in the UK. And his job at the time was to put in Wi-Fi systems in these massive construction projects in the UK. And then somehow it crossed his desk that the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, this is the group of doctors here in the US that get the conundrum cases that other doctors have no idea how to address. So they're by and large environmental specialists. They put out a position statement in 2013 to our school superintendent saying, please hardwire and do not let the wireless exposures in for our children. And so Brett sees this and says, well, what is this? So he did the deep dive. He's really smart. He did the deep dive and quickly put it together that we should not have wireless as a choice. We should have hardwired technology and use wireless minimally. So he said, I'm a technologist. I'll start a remediation company. I'll get out there and help people and show them how to fix this. And then he quickly realized you can't fix it if people don't even know there's a problem. So you have to educate first. So he reached out to Dr. Deborah Davis at the Environmental Health Trust and said, thank you for everything you've done. Can I please have your permission? I'm building these courses online that we can quickly train the public. Can I please reference the Environmental Health Trust? And she said, absolutely. And there's this woman, Cece Doucette, in Massachusetts, who has made some inroads with her schools and the legislature, so you might want to talk to her. So Dr. Davis put me in touch with Brett, and I said, absolutely, I'm a tech writer by trade, if there's anything in my skill set that I can volunteer with. So me and Brett and his wife, Lynn, who does graphics and public relations, and then Dr. Davis introduced us to Dr. Mikko Ahonen, who's another world-leading expert. He's done research programs with Dr. Leonard Hardell and others in Europe. And Mikko Ahonen was in between contracts with universities. So we had this little bubble, this little miraculous 3-month period where me and Brett and Lynn and Mikko all hit it hard. And our goal was to distill these volumes of scientific literature on this into a way that we can quickly teach the public what the science says, the peer-reviewed, non-industry funded scientific studies, what the risks are, what the international community is doing, because we are way behind the eight ball in the U.S. France already has a national law to protect little ones in nursery schools, preschools, and kindergartens. And at the upper grades, the default is all wireless is off, and you only turn it on when you need it. And here in the U.S., it's all Wi-Fi all the time, everywhere. So we distilled it all down into a half-hour course for schools and families for less than the cost of a movie ticket. We'd like to give it away, but we have overhead costs, you know, to keep our systems up and running and to hire our programmers and developers and stuff and our accountants and all of that. So please, it's less than the cost of a movie ticket. But we have, you know, wireless education is up and running. It's built. And we have the schools and families course,
which I took yesterday.
It's excellent. It's excellent. It's less than a half an hour. You go through the whole course. And like I've been studying this for a long time. I found that to be one of the best, most concise, you know, ways to spend, it was about 20 minutes for me. And it was so well communicated, and I learned a lot just by doing that course. So I highly recommend everyone, wirelesseducation.org, correct?
Yes, thank you. Okay. So you took the schools and families course, and we realized that people are still getting massive doses at work too. And so we also did another one for corporate safety, corporate induction safety awareness. And we priced that one here in the US, it's like around the $25 mark, which is really short money for doing corporate training. But we wanted to also offer a Robin Hood program. So if you are with a company that is already a socially responsible member of the community, if you license the courses to teach everybody at work how to use technology safely. So you don't want to be sitting underneath a wireless access point, right? You don't want to be made to use a wireless headset because now you're putting radiation on your head all day long at work. You don't want to be using a company-issued laptop or cell phone without knowing how to use it safely, right? So in our corporate course, we say if you license to train your people at work, you can then appoint a local school, and we, as Wireless Education, we're a nonprofit, we will donate the licensing to train your local school.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so we want to create some momentum and give the impetus to create a win-win-win for our kids, for our community, for our workforces. So.
Good. Thank you so much. What a great array of resources and information you're providing to the world, CC. This is incredible. Really, really good. And in closing, I want to just echo something that you said. I think you mentioned it when you were getting the acoustimeter in the library, and the library said, we are here to be conduits of information. And so, and for those watching this, many, many, many are going to be feeling, okay, I want to be, I feel compelled to be part of the solution, part of this conversation, and it's part of solution, because we know it's going to come to solution. We also feel compressed in the timing with the push of 5G especially. What would you say, just in closing, to those who you know, are inspired in this moment just to hear your experience and knowledge and wisdom and story, but maybe who are feeling still a little bit of fear, you know, like what if? What? Give us some encouragement to end on.
Sure. Here. You are definitely not alone, and so it makes us feel good to know there are others around us, and I cannot even convey how accessible everybody is. People want to help you, so start a Facebook page, have a community conversation in your living room, get those around you educated, and you wouldn't believe the power that comes out of that. Here in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, there's a little community, it's a protected district, and they thought there was just some maintenance going on in the church steeple. Well, it turns out T-Mobile was up there putting up cell tower antennas in a very condensed little neighborhood where there's a library right next door, the general penny candy store is right next door, there's a school right across the street, there are houses right there, and the church is being offered revenue to put the steeple in the cell tower. The townspeople, one or two, figured this out. And they told a friend, and they told a friend. They now have a Facebook page with like 200 people who are now coming out in force to say, we do not want this in our community. And that's what we need to do to 5G as well. Is I know it makes you uncomfortable. Nobody ever thought we'd have to be addressing this. But just, you know, muster up a little bit of courage, get a few people near you educated, and ripple it out from there. So they started a Facebook page at the Centerville Concerned Citizens from Cape Cod. They've gotten a local artist to come out of retirement who has done this amazing painting that they're going to auction off to raise some money. If they need to take this to court, they're going to fight that hard. So there's lots of ways people will join you, but don't go it alone because you will be swept under the rug. So, but you guys are really lucky joining the conversation right now, because when I started, I had nobody I could talk to. Now you've got Generation Zapped, an award-winning film. It took Best Documentary at the DC Independent Film Festival, at the Women's Independent Film Festival. It was selected for the United Nations Film Festival. So you can't go wrong by educating with Generation Zapped. And then in your family, if everybody can't get together for that, just say, hey, go take that little course with Wireless Education. You will see the facts. And then once you level set with the facts, you can sit down at your table and say, okay, what's the first thing we might want to do? Maybe we'll agree to turn everything off at night, right? At least let our sleep do what it needs to do to help us be healthy. then maybe you'll actually hardwire everything at home. And that's easy enough to figure out. We can help you with that. And then start at the community, because if you are not careful, an autonomous car can't get very far unless there's a small cell antenna everywhere. So these are coming. They're already slipping them in to communities. They're being very clever. Usually they'll start with a cell antenna on a pole, but sometimes they don't want to have to go to the pole and conduit committee for an application. So now maybe they're going to hang them on the wires. I just read an article that they're sticking them under the manhole covers in England. Mm. So don't wait. Go right to your town and say, we are concerned. Here's resources to teach us that this is toxic. It may not be something you've ever known about. We don't hold you to blame, but we all need to start this conversation. And there's an excellent resource to use with your towns. The National Institute for Science, Law, and Public Policy out of Washington, D.C., has put together a document for our communities called Reinventing Wires, the Future of Landlines and Networks. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that wireless technology, although it's convenient, it's very unreliable. The signal's slow, it falls apart, your data's out there flying through the air. These cell towers lower your property value. There's at least 11 reasons outlined in this document, Reinventing Wires, and it's free and it's online. So that's a good one to share with our communities. And then we just had the privilege of hosting an amazing forum here in Massachusetts called Questioning the Safety of Our Children's Exposure to Wireless Radiation in Schools. So we need to protect our kids. And we had Dr. Ron Melnick, who designed that $30 million government study that showed clear evidence of cancer and DNA damage. We had the retired president of Microsoft Canada, Frank Clegg, who's a whistleblower. He Skyped in with us. We had Dr. Martha Herbert, who's a Harvard pediatric neurologist, and she founded the Autism Lab at Mass General Hospital. She came to tell us exactly what this radiation is doing to our brains and our children's brains. We had Theodora Scarrato from the Environmental Health Trust. They have an amazing database. Everybody should go pound around in there, and you will quickly see what all this adds up to. And she talked us through what all the European countries are doing, what Italy's doing, and what Russia's doing that we're not doing here to protect our citizens. And we also had Dr. David Carpenter from the University of Albany, who is on a panel that consults to the World Health Organization. And the message is the same. There's never been a safe level of Microsoft radiation. And once you've identified something as a carcinogen, every dose of that is carcinogenic. So there is no safe way to use microwave radiation. And that's the message. But start the conversation with your schools. Use that forum. It's current. Start the conversation with your town. Go seek out that Reinventing Wires. And I, being a tech writer, I got way in over my head when I started investigating. And so I couldn't find things that I wanted to share. So I just started categorizing them. And I built myself a very simple research repository. There's no bells or whistles, but you can go out on to the internet and type in my name, CC Doucette, and then just type in understanding EMFs. For electromagnetic fields, so CC Doucette, understanding EMFs. And I just categorized it all, the impact on children, Wi-Fi in schools, cancers, the science, DNA, what the industry will say. And I've also tried to look at it from the perspective of when you open this conversation with an engineer or a physicist or a technologist, what does it look like from their shoes? So I cobbled together a bunch of resources that might make sense from their perspective. You know, listen to Jeremy Johnson, who's an engineer who gave a TED talk on this. Really good. And then listen to Dr. Ron Melnick, who was one of our government scientists and physicists, who's now trying to get the word out that we've done a really disservice by bringing this into the commercial space. But I've lined up all those for the physicists, for the engineers. Then I did a page for municipal leaders, because all they know is they're getting a nice revenue stream by giving out our public access way rights to the industry. And if you let one application in, the way our law is written, you now have to let every vendor come in. So you might start with one antenna on one pole. Now everybody has a right. So now you're getting an extraordinary dose of radiation. And all they know is that it's a great revenue stream that helps to cover our tight budget. So I put together what the industry will tell you, what you also need to know, and what solutions are. So feel free to go out to Understanding EMS if you like to do the deep dive or you want resources to share. Go to Reinventing Wires. Go to Questioning the Safety of Our Children's Exposure to Wireless Radiation in Schools. Go to Generation Zapped. Go to wirelesseducation.org. We can literally train your entire community, your entire school, your entire workforce in a half an hour. And each course kicks out a tip sheet so you can walk around. And we have bulk rates. We'll work with our schools on sliding scale. We just want to start protecting the public and especially our children.